Random House Audiobooks presents Being Digital by Nicholas Negroponte. Read for you by Penn Jillette.
Being Digital. The best way to appreciate the merits and consequences of being digital is to reflect on the difference between bits and atoms. Most information is delivered to us in the form of atoms, newspapers, magazines, and books. Not long ago, I attended a management retreat for senior executives of PolyGram in Vancouver, British Columbia. The purpose was to give everybody an overview of the year to come, including many samples. These samples were to be shipped to the meeting in the form of audio CDs, video cassettes, and CD-ROMs, physical material in real packages, like the one you're listening to. By misfortune, some was held up in customs. That same day, I had been in my hotel room, shipping bits back and forth over the internet. My bits, unlike PolyGram's atoms, were not caught in customs. The information superhighway is about the global movement of weightless bits at the speed of light. What is a bit, anyhow? A bit has no color, size, or weight, and it can travel at the speed of light. It is the smallest atomic element in the DNA of information. It is a state of being, on or off, true or false, black or white. We consider a bit to be a one or a zero. The meaning of the one or the zero is a separate matter. In the early days of computing, bits most commonly represented numerical information. Try counting, but skip all the numbers that have anything other than a one or a zero in them. You end up with the following: 1, 10, 11, 100, 101, etc. Those are the respective binary representations for the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. Bits have always been the underlying particle of digital computing, but over the past 25 years we have greatly expanded our binary vocabulary. We have been able to digitize more and more types of information, like audio and video, rendering them into a similar reduction of ones and zeros. Digitizing a signal is to take samples of it, which can be used to play back a seemingly perfect replica. The same can be true for a black and white photograph. Imagine an electronic camera as laying a fine grid over an image and then recording the level of gray it sees in each cell. With such fine gradations and with a fine grid, you can perfectly reconstruct the picture for the human eye. The world, as we experience it, is a very analog place. From a macroscopic point of view, it is not digital at all, but continuous. Nothing changes from one state to another without going through a transition. There are many merits to digitization. Some obvious ones include data compression and error correction, but the consequences of being digital are far more important than those. When using bits to describe sound and picture, there is a natural advantage to using as few bits as possible. However, the number of bits you devote per second or per square inch relates directly to the fidelity of the music or image. Typically, one has an interest in digitizing at a very high resolution and then using a less resolved version. The economy of bits is driven in part by the constraints of the medium on which it is stored or through which it is delivered. The number of bits that can be transmitted per second through a given channel, like copper wire, radio spectrum, or optical fiber, is the bandwidth of that channel. It is a measure of how many bits can get down a given pipe. That number, or capacity, needs to be matched carefully with the number of bits needed to render a given type of data. Over the past 15 years, we have learned how to compress the raw, digital form of sound and picture by looking at the bits and removing the redundancies and repetitions. In fact, one of the reasons that all media have become digital so quickly is that we achieved very high levels of compression much sooner than predicted. Being digital allows you to deliver a signal with information added to correct errors such as static. On your audio CD, one-third of the bits are used for error correction. Similar techniques can be applied to television so that each home receives studio-quality broadcast. Error correction and data compression are the two obvious reasons for digital television. You can put four studio-quality digital TV signals into the same bandwidth that previously accommodated one noisy analog transmission. Consumers get a better picture and, potentially for stations, four times the audience share. Better and more efficient delivery is what most media executives think and talk about in the context of being digital. But like the Trojan horse, the consequences of this gift will be surprising. Wholly new content will emerge, as will new players, new economic models, and a likely cottage industry of information and entertainment providers. When all media are digital, because bits are bits, two fundamental and immediate results will be observed. First, bits commingle effortlessly. They can be used and reused together or separately. The mixing of audio, video, and data is called multimedia. Second, a new kind of bit is born, a bit that tells you about the other bits. These header bits can be a table of contents or a description of the data that follow. On your CD, you have simple headers that allow you to skip from song to song. These bits tell you, your computer, or a special-purpose appliance about the signal. These two phenomena, co-mingled bits and bits about bits, change the media landscape so thoroughly that concepts like video on demand and shipping games down your local cable are just trivial applications, the tip of a much more profound iceberg. Think about the consequence of a broadcast television show as data which includes a computer-readable description of itself. You could record based on content, not time of day or channel. Or what about a single digital description that can generate a program in audio, video, or textual form? And if moving these bits around is so effortless, what advantage would the large media companies have? Being digital begs such questions. It creates the potential for new content to originate from a whole new combination of sources. Broadcast television is an example of a medium in which all the intelligence is at the point of origin. The receiver just takes what it gets. Instead of thinking of the next evolutionary step of television as increased resolution or more programs, think of it as a change in the movement of some of the intelligence from the transmitter to the receiver. A newspaper is also produced with all the intelligence in the transmitter, but it can be consumed differently by different people at different times. One way to look at the future of being digital is to ask if the quality of one medium can be transposed to another. Can the television experience be more like the newspaper experience? The answer lies in creating computers to filter, sort, prioritize, and manage multimedia on our behalf. Computers that read newspapers, that look at television for us, and that act as editors. This kind of intelligence can live in two different places. It can live at the transmitter and behave as if you had your own staff writers. A small subset of bits has been selected especially for you, perhaps to be printed in the home, perhaps to be viewed with an electronic display. The second example is one in which your news editing system lives in the receiver, and the New York Times broadcasts perhaps 5,000 stories from which your appliance grabs a select few, depending on your interests. In this instance, the intelligence is in the receiver. The future will not be one or the other, but both. Fiber optics is taking us from a modest to an almost infinite bandwidth, with nothing in between. Bandwidth is the capacity to move information down a given channel. Most people think of it by likening it to the diameter of a pipe or to the number of lanes on the highway. Copper telephone wires, commonly called twisted pair, are considered a low bandwidth channel. Nonetheless, there is a $60 billion installed base of phone lines in America, most of which is capable of carrying up to 6 million bits per second. A modem commonly runs at 9,600 bits per second, or 9,600 baud. Fancy modems can run at 38,400 baud.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?